Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I'm Andy Dawson, pow pow pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to Life Logistics. Here we are again to try and help you with all your problems and woes, which you've communicated to us via the electronic communication system of planet Earth. Is that an email I've just sent you? Just buzzed.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, we're emailing behind your back, listeners. Like, now
we're
you
talking
know.
About you.
We're talking to you, but we're secretly like, you don't know what we're chatting about. We might be slagging you off, yeah.
This thing is operating on many levels at the same time that you know nothing about. Well, you know a bit about it now because we've just revealed it. But just be wary, that's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Don't just assume that this is all there is, what you're hearing now. There's so much more.
We are planet Earth's first multi-dimensional podcast.
Of course we are. Right, have you got any there, Sam? So
yeah,
here we
go.
Logistics?
Here we go. There's one about umbrellas here, which is a good subject, which I don't feel we've given enough time to in the past.
Ever touched on umbrellas yet?
Strange that we've not discussed umbrellas.
Weird.
If you think about it,
blind spot.
Absolute minefield, of course. Aren't they? Umbrellas.
Yeah, can be.
Well, we'll get into that now. This is from... this is from someone who says, don't say my name. Fuck knows
don't
why.
Don't say their name.
But anyway, yeah. I don't want the public knowing that I've got an umbrella issue going on. If my boss is found out, I'd get in big trouble. Anyway, he says, gentlemen, as a keen umbrellaist, resident of Manchester, I never know whether it's best to buy a cheap umbrella or a more expensive one. It's more complex than just buy the best you can afford, as you're just as likely to lose or damage both. Both work just as well. Well, that's not true. And a casual bloke observing probably wouldn't be able to tell difference. Also not true. It's the same issue with many items. Pens, bike inner tubes, and even watches. I urgently, and he has underlined urgently, await your advice. Well, sorry, mate, because we've been about a week getting back to this. But listen... First, I'll let Andy handle the most of this, but I would say umbrellas, yeah, I've been in the same dilemma myself. I'm always losing shit like that, so I personally would never buy an expensive one, I don't think, because I would 100% definitely lose it. However, I don't think it's true that it's... If you were right in your assumption that they work the same anyway... and they look the same, no one can tell difference, then you haven't really got a question to ask us, have you? Because if you believe those things to be true, then why on earth would you buy an expensive one? Clearly, an expensive one is going to work better, be more robust, because a lot of umbrellas do fucking break with the slightest gust of wind, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to look more stylish, right? You can get stylish-looking umbrellas. There is an umbrella shop in Oxford Street, New Oxford Street in London, which is one of the best fucking shops you can see in London. I can't remember what it's called. People will know it's quite famous, but it's a proper old tradition. It's like the sort of umbrella shop that Sherlock Holmes would have gone to for his umbrellas. It's very old Victorian-looking shop that I think has been there for fucking ages. And it's
almost
just
like... almost like a tourist attraction in itself.
I think it is. I think, you know, you will read it written about, and it's amazing. It's just like, you know, an old man runs it. Like the one shop in Harry Potter that John Hurt works in.
Right.
It's basically like that. So you can go and get a pricey umbrella from there, or you can get one with a wooden duck's head. That kind of vibe's lovely. Quite good fun.
Yeah.
Or you can get some branded, like, if you were a fancy, if you were one of the rappers or Instagram influencer, you might get a Louis Vuitton one, mightn't you? Or if you were younger, you might get a Supreme one or something like that. But for me, I've only ever had cheap ones because I just lose everything. So that's my point of view.
I do not own an umbrella, as far as I know. And I can't remember the last time I had one.
Well, Does anyone in the northeast have umbrellas?
Well, we don't own coats or anything like that, do we? We just go out without t-shirts on whatever the weather.
I mean, way, I imagine if you're born and raised in the northeast, then the idea of having a special accessory that's a stick and a special protection thing that you put over your head to stop the rain getting on your head. I mean, if you think about it, yeah, it does sound very silly.
I don't want the water to go on my head or body.
I'm all wet.
What will happen now? What will become of me?
Fetch my protection device.
I don't know if there's any stats about umbrella sales by region, but I suspect that the North East will be quite low down.
And on what? A what? Hello. Do you have... I'm visiting from the South. Do you have an... I've noticed there's a shower heading this way. Do you have any... Do you stock any umbrellas? On what? Umbrellas? Yeah? On bongo? On bongo? No, they drink it in the Congo. No, they don't sell that no more. It's all Capri Sun nowadays and Monster Energy.
I can do you a lilt.
More or less the same, like. Bit fizzier. No, an umbrella, a brolly. A fucking what? This isn't a sex shop, if that's what you're thinking.
I'm fucking gagging with some lilt now, though. I don't know. I mean, I would assume the rule is always buy cheap, buy twice. Do you know what I mean? I've said this before again and again. Don't buy a cheap umbrella because you're just asking for trouble. But at the same time, don't fucking splurge a massive amount on something you're going to use. Well, if my experience, never.
Well,
I've got a coat with a hood. So, you know, I don't need an umbrella.
And you've got a shaved head, which is quite good.
And I've got a shaved head, so it just slides off.
I used to have quite long hair, and then rain was horrible then because it would really, like, just get very sopping wet. It was like walking around with a dishcloth that an unsqueezed. Yeah, it's horrible. So baldness has worked for me, but yeah, I mean, you're right, buy cheap, buy twice, but you're gonna buy twice either way, mate, because brollies are the most losable thing. So what I do is a combination of, as a southerner who has resorted to the shame of carrying a brolly many times, I will usually, you get caught in a shower. I'm not some cunt who goes out with it just in case. Some people, especially in the olden days, you know, if you look at like Reginald Perrin, whatever the weather was like, when he went out in the morning, his fit wife would hand him his briefcase.
She wasn't, wasn't she?
Yeah. His briefcase and his brolly by the door as he walked out, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just standard. It didn't matter if it was summer or not, because there was an age where every English gentleman would carry an umbrella, right? Whereas now I prefer to go out carrying nothing at all if I can.
Yeah.
Right, because I like to feel like a free man of the land. I don't like to be weighed down with equipment.
I was just going to ask you about pocket use. You've got a pair of jeans on, Sam. Let's see. Yeah. Front right hand pocket. What do you keep in there?
Well, I tend to try and keep not much in my pocket. So in the jean pocket, I'd have cash, walking around money.
Same. Cash, front right. Front left, I've got keys in there and mobile phone.
No, keys would be in my coat.
What if you lose your coat?
I don't lose coats. I mean, obviously, I have lost coats. I have lost coats in my life, but it's very rare. It's relatively rare.
Right. Okay. That seems like a risky strategy. I wouldn't do that. Back right pocket, anything in there? I've got my wallet in there.
Do you? Oh, this no way.
This is a pickpocket's guide I'm giving out here. to buy your own personal security.
I wouldn't have my wallet in my jean pocket. I would have...
Again, in the coat.
In the coat, yeah.
What if you go out without a coat on in the summer?
In the summer, that's a good question. Bag. I'd probably have a man bag of some description.
Do you have what's called a fanny pack?
No, but I might get one this summer.
Can we do some TFTM fanny packs?
You can get them. The Latvians do them, mate.
Oh, it's happening.
It's fucking happening. You can get them.
So,
Side. I love winter and autumn because I've got a big parka that's massive and it's got multiple pockets and large pockets and I keep fucking everything in there. Like, it's like carrying a bag. One of my role models in life, who I've talked about before, is my Hungarian father-in-law, right?
Yes.
Who's like a legend. And he's got loads of his life logistics are like, you know, my sort of life goals. So one of the things he does, which I might have mentioned before, is he reached an age long ago where he was like, he only lives for practicality, right? So he wears a flak jacket all the time.
Right.
Yeah. All the time. He's not one of these nutters who's got fucking delusions of being in the military at all. He's not like that at all. But he's just like, I got a load of shit that I need to carry around with me. Watches, pens, wallets.
Compasses,
all sorts of shit. So he's like, why would I fucking rely just on two trouser pockets for that shit? He's like the Fonz, I've talked about before. When he's in England, because he lives in Budapest, but he likes to do a lot of his shopping when he's in England, because I think he thinks the shops in Budapest are shit, which, to be honest, they probably are.
Well,
depending on what you're buying. But he'll stock up on flak jackets while he's here. I don't know where he goes. I think he goes to Army Surplus. He'll get a load. They're all the same colour, but he wears them all the time, like every day, all day, every day.
Yeah.
He's got an outfit like the Fonz. It's one of those. some jeans from M&S. He always wears sort of sandals or slides at all times for comfort.
Yeah.
In the winter, he'll wear the socks.
There's a lot to be said for it. It's a strong look, that.
Yeah. And he's always, like, we're talking about watches, you know, people say, oh, you know, buy cheap, buy twice. Watches are things you can easily lose. Plus, I always think any bloke who's spent quite a lot of money on a watch, and I'm not trying to make out I'm Mr. Humble, because I'm a fucking, you know, I spend all sorts of money, or have done in the past, on stupid things that I think look stylish. But watches, no. I've always been a Casio man. My father-in-law, always been a Casio man. The classic Casio watch costs about 20 quid. I've got a gold one because I'm quite fancy, but still ain't cost 20 quid. He has, the black rubber ones that you used to have at school. Again, the cunt's got about 20 of them, mate, in his rig in Budapest.
Fucking hell. Is it the ones with the calculator on?
No, it's even lower fire than that. It's the entry-level one. He has an entry-level Casio. He has a flak jacket. And as I've told you before, he bulk buys bottles of Boots' own brand sandalwood aftershave. £2.99 a bottle. Has a fucking shit ton of them in his rig.
Hey, he's going to have all kinds of problems now with Brexit when he tries to get back to Budapest with all of that. He's going to need export invoices and all sorts of fucking...
Yeah, but he's a wily character. He'll have put things... He's the sort of bloke who'll have put his own sort of processes in place months in advance of Brexit, I promise you. He'll have set up some sort of shell business or something like that.
Shell company, yeah.
To just get his flak jackets and watches imported.
So getting back to the trouser situation, back right-hand side, like I've said, wallet, you're saying nothing.
Business card. Not my business card, but sometimes I'm out at a high-powered business meeting and someone will go, here's my card, and I'll think that's going straight in the back pocket. Because that way I know as well, it's like when these jeans go in the wash, I'll never check the back pocket, so this business card will get what it deserves, which is to be put through a fucking hot wash and turned to mush. give him a smile, knowing that's going to fucking die a painful death, you silly cunt. It's not the 80s.
That leaves us with rear, back, left. Now, all I keep in there is dog shit bags for when I'm walking the dog.
I keep a colourful bandana which hanging out, which shows other people what sexual acts I'm prepared to undertake. Yeah. And okay. I change it depending on my mood that day.
Depending on what you're up for. Yeah. Okay. What I'm suggesting is, instead of an umbrella, in that back left pocket, which at the minute just had dog shit bags in, you get one of those foldable ponchos that you can get in a packet and just carry that
good,
all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, my system with brollies is, if I get caught in the rain, I like to go to a newsagent, or outside the tube stations, there'll always be like a little kind of stall that sells newspapers or whatnot. And and they always sell like these £1 brollies, and they fucking get them out as soon as it starts raining. And that's where I believe the majority of umbrellas in Britain are now bought, are emergency umbrellas, because people just buy them. But they're the shittiest things, and I'll buy it if it's an emergency, and it will rarely last me all the way home, because if there is even the gentlest of winds, it will blow inside out, and then one of the metal spokes will bend and snap off.
Mm-hmm. And you look foolish.
The only other thing that can get better is sometimes you will happen to get hold of a promotional umbrella, right?
Yeah.
Which is a big media. A big golf umbrella that someone's got fucking branded up with the name of their company. And if you can get hold of one of those, that's a great opportunity.
How does that stand with your avowed hatred of golf?
Doesn't matter to me. I'm walking around the streets. I'm not fucking on a golf course. I'm walking around the streets doing my thing.
Okay. But you're affecting a golfing lifestyle.
I'll be like, this is my street umbrella, mate. Yeah, I've nicked it. Umbrella. I've nicked it from the golfing world, but this is from my street operations.
You fucking cunt. So there we are. That's half an episode on umbrellas. And I hope that was helpful and constructive.
Because as I say, we have never done umbrellas before, so we do.
I think it's a subject we might return to, hopefully.
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
What else have we got? I've got one here from Cunter Mike. He describes himself. He's even got an email address set up as Cunt and Mike, and I won't say the second bit.
All of his emails must go to spam. No one must ever receive an email from him. Fuck knows how we have.
Well, we have. And the title is Someone Else Using My Email Address, ironically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he says, all right, lads, some fucker who shares my name, Cunt and Mike, has been using my email address, not this one, he says, to sign up to various online accounts and services. Last year, he used my email in order to switch energy supplier using a third-party service. I contacted them, letting them know of his error, and asked them to sort it out. After a few emails of them not getting the gist of the situation, I just fucking cancelled his energy supplier switch. The cunt hasn't learned his lesson and has now pulled the same stunt to order nearly 50 quid's worth of meat from a Scottish butcher. I've changed his account password and cancelled the order, but now I have his full address and phone number. I may be going full Lampard, but I haven't had the time to be doing some other cunt's email admin. How do I sort this once and for all?
Well, have you thought about fucking emailing him?
How are you going to email him? He thinks his email address is Cunt and Mike's email address. He'd have to email himself.
Well, he'll get confused. Tell him,
and he wouldn't find out. Well, you've got his full address and phone number, it says there, Mike.
Write to the cunt, or call him out.
Right, send him an old-fashioned letter.
Right, my letter goes a long way.
Call him up.
It goes a long way writing letters, doesn't it? I mean, I haven't done it in a while, but I might do it soon. Yeah, and I think it has more of an impact on someone as well.
I think we should restore the culture of letter writing. I think if anyone's got any life logistics issues, they should have to write us a letter. rather than put it in an email, because we know that you mean it.
Maybe we should do a stationery, the Top Flight Time Machine letter writing kit.
Or competition.
Yeah.
We'll do a letter writing competition. We will do points for calligraphy and points for content.
Yes.
And style and grabber. Language.
Grabber. Very good grammar.
Who will become the Top Flight Time Machine letter writer of the year 2021?
Yeah. You can do little pictures as well if you wish. Yeah, that's a good idea. We need to get a PO box, mind.
Yeah, oh God, I'm not fucking giving my address out. If he's got the phone number of this cunt, then just text him, surely. Unless it's a landline, give him a ring.
Mm.
No one's putting the landline down for anything anymore, are they?
Yeah.
Ooh, I tell you what, though, I've been triggered by the thought of 50 quid's worth of meat from a Scottish butcher.
Yeah, I'm vegetarian, that even triggers me a bit.
I would have just changed the fucking address on the order and I'd have diverted to myself.
Diverted it, of course. You could have had 50 quid's worth punishment. Of meat for free.
Mm-hmm. As punishment.
And then if he finds out, just say, listen, that's my payment for you going around using my identity,
yeah, exactly.
Mate. And
I
think yourself
taxed
lucky.
You, mate.
Think yourself lucky, because yeah. That's the least I could charge you. I could have you banged up for this. This is identity theft. Instead, I've just accepted payment in meat.
Traditional style. Yeah.
When I was at Heat magazine, one of the things that I'm most proud of is when Lady Gaga turned up at the MTV Awards dressed in a dress made of meat.
Yes.
Right.
I remember that.
So I said, let's do a splash of competition on the front page of that week's mag, which came out a few days later, just saying, win Lady Gaga's MTV dress, right? And so lots of people bought it, saying, oh, fucking hell, we can win the dress. But in fact, what I did was I did a deal with a butcher and we would sell them the equivalent amount of meat. We'd got a butcher to look at the dress and assess how much meat it was and how much it probably cost. And then basically do a Lady Gaga special box, but you had to turn it into a dress yourself once it arrived, or you could eat it. The option was yours. I was so delighted with that. I'm not sure if the teenage girls who just, you know, sincerely loved Lady Gaga probably enjoyed it as much as I did, but...
Yeah.
That wasn't what was important, was it? What was important was me amusing myself.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Yeah. it's an ethos which has carried on to this podcast to this day.
Yeah. Better suited to this podcast, to be fair, yeah.
So, yeah, just give the cunt a ring, mate. Just tell him to sort his email out. Andrew says, what does a £5 Christmas spoon look like?
Oh, yeah.
This, of course, goes back
to... I meant to ask you about that, yeah.
Collective Christmas and birthday list for my kids that me and my wife do on a Google document, so we can both see what we've bought. And, of course, it just said spoon, £5 for both of the children. And I had no idea what this was, but we were all looking forward to seeing what it was. I'll tell you what it was. It's a fucking spoon, and on the other end, it's a fucking fork. It's a fork spoon. Now, why she didn't put fork spoon on the list or
a
fork?
That's a spork. Of spoon.
Well, it's not a spork, because a spork
is two in one.
One end.
Yeah.
It's a spoon and a fork combined in one tool. This is a fork at one end and a spoon at the other. So you can twirl it like a baton, like a cheerleader would do.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
And twirl between one and the other.
Yeah, but say you've been eating a soup for your... Say you get a starter and it's soup and you eat soup. Yeah. Eat, drink.
Yeah,
right.
Spoon.
And then next comes your main, which might be chips, right? And you flip it round and start forking the chips. Chip, fork. But there's fucking soup residue on the spoon bit, which has effectively become your handle.
Yeah.
So now you've got what's known as soup hand.
Well, you're not, because you're using the area in the middle, the neutral zone.
That doesn't sound...
You're using
sound.
The neutral zone to use your fork.
That
also,
doesn't...
Also...
Yeah.
Well, hang on. If you've got soup, you're going to lick the soup spoon clean, aren't you, if it's lovely soup? You're not going to leave any residue. It's
still going to be damp.
Nah, it'll dry, I think, in the atmosphere. I don't see that as being a problem. The only
in
problem
the atmosphere
I see...
of your dining room.
Hang on. The only problem I foresee is getting to dessert. And then you've got... Maybe you've got a bit
Flip
of soup
the
residue.
Spoon.
Or
What's
or
the dessert?
Spittle.
It's fucking... Right, we're going to have trifle. but there's still a bit of tomato soup on my fucking spoon. Nah, just lick it clean. I know, but I've licked it clean, but without it being through a proper dishwash, there's still something. It might be in my imagination, but there's sort of like the traces of tomato-y soup that are really affecting my enjoyment of this trifle.
And also, even though it's my own, I don't want to put my dry spittle into the trifle.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Even though it's your own spit, I know that's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It should have a third. It should be like a Swiss Army knife with all of the different possible combinations. But you need more than one spoon on it, don't you? You need two spoons. One for starter and one for dessert. But
still, £5 for a spooky, forky spoon? Nah, not for me.
Forky spoon, and the kids haven't used it yet, so I can't tell you how good it is. I'm looking at another one here from Haley Kennedy. He says, not a question, but just a thank you. Got myself an air fryer and a shark because of you guys. Oh, and thanks for the laughs too. There we go. That's our advice in action. I've been on Twitter earlier this morning asking what's the best frozen chip, Sam?
Oh, yeah.
And I've been inundated like never before. Mm. Well, not for a few months anyway, with suggestions. And every cunt seems to be suggesting different things.
There's no poll. You can't like sort of shrink it down from what you've had so far to a final three or four. That's what I did with when I needed a new vacuum. First, it was just like whatever, and then I kind of thought, well, these seem to be the four most recurring. And then I did a poll, and obviously Shark won. I mean, that's all in the past.
I'll ask
now.
Richard Osman to do a World Cup of frozen chips for me.
Yeah, I mean,
he does all that, doesn't he?
We have Chip Thursday in this house, and we've gone through quite a lot of different variants, The favourite towards the end, but it does change because you can get bored of one type of chip and then you want to switch things up. But McCain fries, like skinny fries,
right,
are quite... And a lot of restaurants use that. I remember newspapers got hold of like Gordon Ramsay having a McCain truck turn up at one of his fanciest restaurants every morning, and they discovered that he was serving up for like, you know, a portion of chips in some Michelin star restaurant of Gordon Ramsay's cost like £8 or something, but there's just McCain skinny fries.
Oh, well, that's workplace bullies for you.
Yeah. But now, not to be fancy, but because Len got the deep fat fryer for his birthday, and because I read that book about food over Christmas, which made me really paranoid about anything that's been made in a factory. I've just switched it to fresh chips, and fresh chips are the best chips.
What do you do them in? Have you got a deep fryer?
Yeah,
you have, haven't you?
Yeah. So I'm saying it's Len's deep fryer, so we make them together.
Yeah.
And in my stocking at Christmas, do you know one of the things that Santa bought me? It's bigger than a stocking. It's a pillowcase, so I can get extra big presents in it. And do you know what I got? A fucking vegetable dicer, mate. The nicer dicer.
It's a pillowcase like what a burglar would use.
Yeah, it's like a swag bag. And it's got my name written on it in Christmassy colours.
A vegetable dicer.
Vegetable dicer, mate. Get the fucking vegetable.
Dice him. You make soup or stuff with them.
Yeah. But the only thing is it doesn't work. It's not powerful enough to... I was hoping it would chip the potatoes, but it can't quite handle a spud. It's happier with, like, courgettes, onions, peppers, etc. But it's a lot of fun.
I've got one of those potato chipper machines. Hand-usable ones.
Oh. I might get one of those.
You put the potato into the thing, and then you pull the handle down, and it instantly chips. Yeah,
peel it first, obviously.
You can get regular chip or French fry size.
Okay, how much did this cost roughly? Can you remember?
About a tenner, maybe.
Fucking getting
it when I got the air fryer.
I'd promised myself a no purchase January, like literally nothing. Mm. But that might be worth making an exception for.
I'm at a stage where I don't want to go to the shops very often, so I want to invest in frozen chips. So it's one less thing I've got to go out for
if
I need to buy chips.
Mm. Why aren't you getting your stuff delivered, mate? Can't you get a delivery slot?
I could do click and collect, but then they always just give you stuff that's out of date on the day when you get it.
But what about when the van comes up to your thing? It's quite hard to get a slot, isn't it?
I don't think it's that hard to get a slot, but like
they're not taking on new customers.
you go to the supermarket car park and then you've got to, you know, take whatever they give you.
I got the cunt turns up at my house and delivers it.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Nah?
Nah.
In lockdown, it's bloody great, mate.
Well,
he turns up with a load of crates. I take them in, empty them onto the kitchen counter, and then take him his crates back out. And I take the opportunity to have a little chat as well.
All right, yeah.
All right, mate.
Just keep in with the working man.
All right, mate. Doing a bit of delivering, are you?
Well, time you knock off then.
Yeah.
You got an holiday this year? No, I thought not.
You lost a bit of weight, have you? You're looking very well.
I mistook the COVID.
Yeah, mate. Not being funny, but do you remember Dick Turpin, that TV show from the 80s? Nah, it don't matter. Forget I said anything. It's just, it's really, if you ever fancy it, I've got them all on DVD. It's just my kids won't watch it with me, so if you ever fancy it, it might be the sort of thing you like. Dick Turpin? I grew up in Algeria. No Dick Turpin there. No, we don't have program like that. Stop talking about that. I'm just saying, mate, you might like it. Don't knock it till you tried it.
It's a nice way of you to indoctrinate yourself in the culture of your new home.
Yeah, in case you get a citizenship test or anything like that, they're bound to ask you about Dick Turpin because he's like a national treasure, isn't he?
Obviously, you'll have to watch you through the window because of the lockdown and everything, but I'll leave the window out when you need it.
Yeah, mate, I'll put you a cup of tea out there on the ledge, right, and you just sit yourself down there by the flower bed and I'll put it on. You won't be able to hear it, but I'll put the subtitles on.
I'll put the subtitles on. It's another way of you learn a language, isn't it?
I know one watch, Dick Turpin, you stupid man. Just sign here for replacement. They're not Cheddar Cheese, so we replace with Red Leicester. Oh, fuck that, mate. I'm not having that. Nah, I'm not signing for that.
You ain't got any fucking double Gloucester, you cunt.
I'd rather have no fucking. She's gone, fuck off. You can't watch Dick Turpin now. Try and mug me off with Red Leicester.
That's why I like to go myself.
Yeah.
But I only go after 8:45 PM when there's no cunt in.
Nice and empty.
It's great. It's like when Michael Jackson used to get him to shut down toy shops for him so he could go around himself.
Yeah. Or Alan Partridge used to get Tandy shut down. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. It's really good. Also, I forgot to say, you know that Muller Kintyre cheddar that you were going on about? Taste the difference.
Yeah.
Can I get it anymore?
Can't you? I've got some downstairs. No. I'll put some in an envelope for you and send it out. I'll cut off a couple of chunks.
Put it in a freezer bag.
Mm.
No, can't get it. It's not up here anyway.
Well, we've got some. We had it in the last shop. So,
you bastards.
One rule for the
maybe
south.
You put it back in.
Yeah. So John Sainsbury's, we're running low on Muller Kintyre cheese. Well, cut it off from the northeast. They wouldn't know the difference between that and some
they don't
fucking,
appreciate it.
They don't know. Give them the mild cheddar. Tastes like fire.
Send it to London.
You can give them candle wax and they'll be grateful. Put that on your crackers. No, we must stockpile the Muller Kintyre in London. For the Queen and Prince Philip and our leaders, the captains of industry.
Oh, God. It's my life's work to get some now. That's about it then, I reckon. We've helped a couple of people.
We've done a lot of good for the world, which is what we always do.
We have, and I'm now looking forward to an influx of more frozen chip suggestions coming in on social media.
Maybe there'll be an independent frozen chip maker out there. Because we've had some luck with people sending us things. If you are in the frozen chip business or you're thinking of setting up, because, you know, all these like artisan sort of small batch people on Etsy and all of that, why is no one trying to do that with chips?
Yeah, well, true. Maybe we'll make a breakthrough on the back of this. We'll see. Mm. Keep your questions coming in because we love them so. And we love you all as well. Goodbye.
We're so lucky to have you as our fans and friends.
Tired
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.